Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking to you all from New York at the moment on a Monday evening. And we are three astrologers, two of us in New York and the other one about to join us, we hope. and we'll let you know where she is when she calls in. Anyway, I'm Mark Walls, and I'm in Manhattan on the west side over by the Hudson River. And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. So, enjoying the nice 70-degree weather,
we bring you astrology thoughts and comments each week, and we also take calls with questions.
Yeah.
And we'll have a look at your chart and see what we can say about it. We also take emails if you want to send us an email in between.
Right.
And if you're not able to hear us live at 11 o'clock Eastern Time on Monday night, you can always pick it up from the archive.
Right. And hear us in whatever of your own home. The privacy of your own home and your privacy of your own time. That lovely podcasting whenever you'd like to. So,
put your earphones on at work and tune in.
Tune in. All right, totally cool.
Right.
Yes. All right, so we have a lot going on this week. So we're going to do a little overview, then we'll take some calls, and then we'll
let's give out the number.
Do more summary stuff. The number, for those of you who want to call in, is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So it's
and
a big...
Once you're in, press one
so you raise your hand so that we know what you want to be called on. Otherwise, we just see your phone number and you don't have a little red hand raised and I'm not going to call on you. So it's good.
All right.
So the week ahead's got a lot. First up to my mind is Uranus leaving Pisces for a few months and going into
Aries. Yeah, you've been waiting for that one.
I have Jupiter-Uranus conjunct in my chart. So Jupiter and Uranus are meeting in the sky three times this year. So I'm very excited because I'm having a natal excitation. And it rules my workhouse and my career house and me. So I always have really nice things when Jupiter and Uranus join. Last time they joined, I kind of started doing I want to be an astrologer full time. And now I am one. And so now I'm always like, okay, new things. I got to come up with new stuff, you know? So it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's the first time it's been in Aries since 1927, it was in Aries from 1927 to 1934. For those of you who are historical people, you remember that was the Great Depression.
Let's all think back.
And if you're really old, you were alive then, which is cool. And if you weren't alive then, that's okay too. But you were, your relatives were. So if you ask them what was going on in the Roaring Twenties.
Exactly. Think back to some family stories.
Right. And so it happens on Thursday. So what we all want to do is watch what happens this week, because this is the precursor in your chart of what you're going to be working with for the next 8 years when it goes into Aries. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
And big.
And then remember, it doesn't stay in Aries quite yet, right?
No. It's only there for a couple months, and then it moseys back into Pisces for the fall.
Yep.
And then
it comes into Aries definitively in, when will that be?
May.
February or something? May? Next May?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then from then on it stays in Aries.
And then it's there for eight more years, So we're dancing with it a little bit the beginning of this year. But it starts this week, so that's a big deal. And it always kind of marks what the story's going to be. So we do want to see what happens this week. Now, a couple weeks ago when Chiron moved into Pisces, we had the oil rig explode. So when that, we kind of always pay attention because usually it's kind of something big. So, forward. So that's the one I'm really excited about. And you, what are you excited about?
Well, I think that's a good one. And then I like Saturn stationing to go direct. And I like that one because now Saturn is looking at the end of Virgo and really has the sights on Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn has backed up into 27 Virgo stops, and now we'll go forward through those last few degrees of Virgo and finally go into Libra, and it'll be in Libra then for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to Saturn in Libra. I like that. I think I'll prefer that to Saturn in Virgo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we're getting the station, the turning around, the going forward of Saturn. And I kind of like the feeling of Saturn going forward more than the retrograde. Things feel a little more gummed up. It's a little harder to deal with authority. I always have a hard time dealing with authority anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Saturn retrograde, it just seems like a lot of ulterior motives coming down on me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Which, you know, is okay. That is part of the game. And,
yeah.
It just
yeah.
seems a little more heightened then. Whereas when it's direct, I feel like I can be more direct
mm-hmm.
in the presence of authority.
Right, right.
So, anyway, I'd prefer that. So we do have that station, but then we also have Neptune station and you go the other direction.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
So Neptune is going to go retrograde. And that happens this week also. Neptune is, what, 28?
Yes, 28, 30 or something of Aquarius.
Right.
So it's in conjunct to Saturn. So it's got
yeah.
a whole energy of, you know, really feeling very, you know, like the dreams were there, but where have they gone? You know, kind of the where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio kind of thing.
And a little bit, too, a questioning of spiritual values. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we really, and the spiritual authorities, too.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to see, we've seen a lot of that over the last couple of years, really, and we should see some more of it this week, you know,
mm-hmm.
just with kind of people who are in an authoritative position within
mm-hmm.
a spiritual or religious tradition. They'll have some kind of hard questions to answer.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. And I think, you know, with the inconjunct, it's also adjusting. You know, when it formed a couple of weeks ago, the Catholic Church, the Pope said, oh, you know, the Church has really not been very good at this. You know, we've had sinners in us and that have done bad things. And I'm like, okay, good. That's, you know, acknowledging stuff. So it's always – the other part of it is the guy that just, you know, the one that's running for Attorney General in Connecticut that said he was in Vietnam, and apparently he wasn't, you know. And was telling stories about getting spit on, but apparently he didn't go, and he didn't get spit on when he came home. You know, it was kind of like, and then he's mad because they're hounding him. And I'm like, but you're running for Attorney General to prosecute crimes, and you're lying as you're doing
it?
Yeah,
that's pretty strange.
Yeah. But Saturn in Pisces has this kind of, is it it's a last degree, has this kind of, well, I don't really have to tell you what I'm really doing, do I? Yeah, you want my vote, you know. It would
right.
be good. So, well, we're definitely one of those
yeah, there should
weird
be some
aspects,
standards,
huh?
Right? There should be some standards.
Yeah, you have to tell the truth.
And that's what Saturn asks for, is standards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he asks
Saturn
for standards, and he holds you accountable to what you said you were going to do or what you didn't do.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that sense, Saturn is very fair.
Yeah.
Not very nice, but very fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's like, you know,
you,
if you did it, you get left off the hook. And if you didn't do it, he pinned you down.
Right.
He's like, no, you didn't do that. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's an interesting process. And then also Neptune has, you know, has a way of making people be a little delusional. So there's also kind
right.
of a delusion that when Neptune stations, he entered his shadow on February 8th. So when he leaves, when he stations to go retrograde, he's going back to the February 8th time, and
mm-hmm.
he's going to go, okay, you know, I'm back in February 8th, and, you know, I have to then figure out, you know, what I'm doing. And so there's a whole, you know, there's a whole process here of going back and looking at the stuff that's gone on since February 8th under Neptune's veil, and then saying, okay, so now what do we want to do with it? Because Neptune now is stopping and saying, look at that again. You know, I might have tricked you there while I was running through the last degrees of Aquarius. Is this really what your dream is? So it's also adjusting the dream or adjusting the vision. And also going back to what came in February, because that is really when he started kicking up and entering this place. There's Heather. Or Mark,
hello,
did you
Heather.
Fall off? No.
No.
Yes, Heather. Hi.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
I got lost coming home tonight in a new city, so it took me a while to get here.
Oh, well, we're glad you made it home. Home
Thank
safely.
You.
Hmm?
How is everybody tonight?
Very good, very
good.
Good. Don't complain.
We're just talking about Saturn and Neptune.
Wonderful. And Mars coming Mars-Neptune opposition?
No, we didn't do that one. Why don't you do that
no,
one?
No, we haven't looked at that one. Nope.
That one can
well,
be yours.
I find it really interesting the aspects that are coming, that are so clearly defined by the oil spill. First we had the Venus-Pluto opposition, and you saw the image of, you know, dark crude bubbling up from the depths of a psyche into the collective ocean and ruining the beauty of the coastland. That felt so Pluto coming up and opposing the Venus of the coastland. I see that Uranus heading into Aries as, you know, we're heading into a time when we run out of patience and we start making major technological advances over the next 8 years. And this experience in the Gulf, I think, will be the trigger for really revolutionizing our approach to fossil fuels. But coming mm-hmm. up this week, we have, right for Memorial Day weekend, Mars is moving into an opposition with Pluto and with Neptune.
Neptune.
To me, that starts off by saying, you know, on the good side of that, we'll be letting go, on the confusing side, is a letting go of old motivations, of having to drop anger, and just kind of for a while there, maybe not knowing where we're going. That's the aimless quality that Mars opposed Neptune can bring about. But that if we let go of the old motivations, new goals come up, and we're asked to kind of get off our duff as Mars opposes Neptune and says, get off your duff, stop being passive, and start being more active. And it's interesting that this aspect happens just as Uranus goes into Aries.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it will be you know, we might find that for any of us, the places where we're feeling a little passive or paralyzed or just, but we don't know, sort of between the acts of something in our life. But next week when Saturn goes direct, we may have a much clearer image of where we're going. In the process, we may need to let go of some old anger. There may be some fresh anger opposed the Neptune, the poisoning of the oceans, which is the Neptune, positive Neptune into negative Neptune. There may be some fresh heroics, the good side of Mars, that stops the poisoning.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that'll kick in.
Right, because right now it's just been a
some kind of action
mess.
Is needed.
I mean, it's clear they have no idea what
right
they're
now,
doing. Huh?
No mm-hmm. idea.
Absolutely none, which is kind of scary.
They've tried, it's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they should put oil in the famous think tank that these guys are supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a tank with water in it up to the mid-thigh and then pour oil on the water. And they might think quicker.
Leave them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but seriously, I think it would help the process, you know.
Well,
or
it would certainly
to,
be oily.
They'd have to deal with it.
Yeah,
right.
they'd have to deal with it on a different level. Feel what it feels like for the poor little fish. Those little
yeah.
Ducks
and I do get the feeling that it's going to be the, you know, because the government hasn't been seen to be operating anywhere near fast enough on this
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just yelled at British Petroleum to hurry up and deal with it. And
mm-hmm. But they didn't do anything
they
themselves.
Take
yeah.
over and deal with it. Right.
Yeah.
They need to take over and deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have a feeling it's
and just send them the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Real, yeah, exactly. It's going to be a real problem coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's already too much oil at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost mind-boggling how much it is. Like, I don't think you can you know, like I kind of, you know, I read it and I go, so like, what's that? The concept of that, you know, like, how is that? what does that look like kind of thing. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Facebook or the online, they have a map of the oil spill, and then they take it and place it over Manhattan, and you see just how big it is.
Wow.
Oh, really?
It's really mind-boggling to see how big it is.
You know, that's funny. Last summer I was thinking it would be an interesting experiment. If you figure, like, my car will get 30 miles to the gallon. So how big a hole do I poke, like, in a gallon of water and so that it would drain out as I drive 30 miles and I could just sort of watch it drain, right? There'd be a little stream of water coming out onto the road for 30 miles to drain that gallon. And I would realize, well, that actually, that gas is getting sucked in pretty fast, you know. Anyway, I just thought of that with the notion of how fast this oil is coming up into the Gulf waters.
Well, the thing I have the feeling is they're trying to save the hole, you know, rather than stopping the oil. They're not.
Yeah, they should shut it down.
Yeah, they're not. You know, it's not really. They're not. They're trying to figure out how to preserve.
I think they've been trying every single thing they can, and the only thing that I have heard that has worked in a case like this before was somewhere in Russia, I believe, they set off a small nuclear bomb and they closed it down.
Right, right.
I don't think we want to do that.
Right. Well, think about the tsunami on the. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to do that. And I don't think we want to speak. That would be, you know, is one pollution better or worse than the other?
Right.
I think that would be really terrible. Mm. You know, then you have radioactive sludge all along.
Yeah. Right.
Well, hopefully the Mars opposite Neptune will bring in some kind of a solution.
Mm-hmm. Where it actually closes down, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good. We would like that. So, cool. All right, well, let's look and see if we have any callers on our switchboard. We put out the number to see if we had, and I got it to work. I figured it out, so that was good. Well, I didn't figure it out. Tech support figured it out, but it did work. It worked on my machine a little earlier. Pop-up block. Do you see this? Oy. Turn off popcorn blocker. All right, let's try it again.
Popcorn blocker.
Pop-up blocker.
Oh.
It's considered a pop-up blocker. All right, we do have callers. Okay, so we'll call. We'll pick up one of the callers. Hi, 773. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Can we help you with a question?
Oh, wow. Hey, you got me. Awesome. So I have an enormous amount of planets in the early degrees of cardinal signs.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to look at the chart and see, I guess, exactly how all this is going to play out, because it's touching so many points. I think it's Neptune, Jupiter, my ascendant, and my moon are all in early degrees of cardinal signs.
Okay, give us your birth info.
February 6, 1984, 4:30 a.m. And the city is Danville, Illinois.
So February 6th, what year?
1984.
84, okay. At 4:30 in the morning in Danville. Okay.
Danville where?
Illinois.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have a beautiful lineup.
Beautiful, that's the way to put it.
For the way the, and it's like an auto harp chord, you know, you really can't tease them apart, but you can see the order that it happens.
Okay.
And for the public, she has Jupiter at zero Capricorn, I'm sorry, Neptune at zero Capricorn, Jupiter at three Capricorn, conjunct her ascendant within half a degree at three Capricorn, and an Aries moon at five Aries. And an Aquarius sun, but those are the Jupiter, Neptune, ascendant, and moon are going to be the pile up that's ringing like a bell. And it's always going to happen in that order. you know, every month the Neptune hits it, the Moon hits it, every year the Sun hits it, and so do all the personal planets. Neptune, first something dissolves in you and you have a spiritual crisis or a philosophical crisis or a call to, you know, your compassion hooks you in a difficult situation and you learn from that. Then your Jupiter in ascendant, you know, it's like, how do I free this? How do I make this mine? How do I get out of here? How do I transcend this and make something powerful out of it? And usually your large personality steps in there because you do have a large personality and you may have to kind of take over for a bit. And then your Moon gets hit, so you have to come home with it and figure out, you know, and may not feel at home in the old situation because you've made such a transformation.
So
then it takes a break and then hits your Venus and
Mercury.
You know, Mercury. But there's a break between those first four pieces. So Pluto is leaving. It's been in your 12th house for over a decade. And is coming across the ascendant, going back and forth, bunny hopping at the moment, between your ascendant and your Moon. And it looks like, you know, your whole life has been ringing like a bell, and it's asking you to take your power and let go of something that felt like it was home to you, but is no longer home, and to be the wise one and the adult around people who are going through some crisis. With the Moon in the third house, it could be siblings, family members, or people who feel like that in your neighborhood and community. And that you need to stay healthy and sane no matter what they're doing. And take your power, not by telling them what to do, though Capricorn loves to do that, but by embodying the difference.
Right. Wow, well, that's pretty much dead on. There was a really tumultuous relationship, and he was triple fire, Aries Sun, Sag Moon, Leo Rising, and he hated my Capricorn, but craved it because he was just all over the place and took a toll on me, and then the whole Moon in the third
and
house.
And projected a whole kind of parent stuff on you. You know, be my parent. I hate you for it.
The thing is, he's got the same Pluto on his IC-MC axis, except for it's flipped, and Pluto is opposed to Sun and Mercury, so we have similar parent issues, but clearly his are ones that have been a lot harder for him to deal with, seeing as how Pluto's at his IC. But one more question, what about the Saturn opposition to my Moon?
And
I guess
yeah,
that's
everybody
like
else
a wild card.
That does the sense of depression and the sense of restructuring. So also, if you go back 14 years to 1996, you started a cycle back then, and that cycle's culminating. And for you, partner, you know, Cancer ruling the seventh house, it says go back and think over the last 14 years of relationships and come up with, because the Moon is the ruler of your seventh house, saying, okay, let me come up with a different way maybe to do relationships going forward. Not that what I've done is bad, but that I'm giving myself a new permissions on how to do it. And then the energy shoots out into the edge of the third, edge of the sixth, you know, the T-square, it forms like an open-ended thing. So the open end is the seventh house. So the energy as Pluto comes to make, or as Saturn comes to fiddle with that Moon of yours is going to say, okay, what have you learned in the land of relationships over, what have you learned about communication? What have you learned about how you need to express your needs to get what you want? Because Moon in Aries is fast talking, but it sometimes jumps and leaves the situation. You know, it has an emotional reaction and then it takes off, which is okay, but it's like saying, okay, maybe you need to kind of come up with a new way to do it. And it's also dealing with the fire guy. You know, like you were in a fire relationship, so that was where you pulled him in on. So he was really Saturn to you on some level. You know, what are your boundaries versus his, and how do you set them up and structure them? That would be my take. But it's an interesting, you know, the opposition always to the Moon says forward. And also it can be live different styles of communication, you know, when you're going to be working on new communication styles as Saturn comes to get there. He's going to be there in the fall, though. You've got to I'm more interested in the early stuff when he's squaring your Neptune and squaring your Jupiter, because those are really big, seeing, you know, kind of almost spiritual awakening planets. And Pluto on those is really big, too. It's been a very profound transformation, I would think, in your life over the last couple of years, huh?
Yes, it definitely. The depression and just mm-hmm. like dealing with the Pluto going over my ascendant was very difficult, and that's what got me looking into transit, because I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. I felt like everything was literally burning up, and as soon as I put my finger on something,
it just took off.
So,
yeah, because Pluto also was squaring your moon.
Right.
So that was like I touched it. You know, finger, Gemini, that's the third house, burning up, moon on fire. You were also talking the Pluto square to the moon, not just the conjunction to the Neptune, Jupiter. But that sense of you don't have any way of stopping it, you know.
Well, things are much better now, and they seem to be going higher. Saturn almost reached my moon when it dipped into Libra last fall. It was at like 4 degrees Libra, mm-hmm. so it was almost there, but that might be interesting. Well, thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Keep us posted. Let us know what happens. We always like to know how the story turned out.
Exciting changes coming up for you. Yeah, your story is right dead smack in the middle of everything, so enjoy the process.
And remember, transits, they're transits, which is always fun.
Yes. They go away.
That's the whole part to remember. This is all going to go away in the fall. It'll be a little wild ride till then, but in the fall it all calms down and the new life comes in. You're giving birth for 3 months over the summer. So
it's really good to remember that with Saturn-Moon combinations, too, because you can really feel like it's a forever thing. And just remind yourself, even, you know, look at the calendar and see when that finishes and just say, okay, it's going to be a month. Because you can feel so isolated and sort of driven into a cave and nobody understands you and nobody ever will understand you. And that's where you got to draw the line. No, it's just this month.
Well, thank you guys so much. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we'll try. See, I like how we solve the problems of the world. All right. We'll try 386-679. You out there?
Hi. How are you doing?
Raised. Hi. How are you?
Yay. I haven't been able to listen to your show in a long time because I'm on the East Coast and it's kind of late for me, but I'm up tonight. So,
Yay!
And what can we do for you, and what's your birth information?
There's just so much stuff, like, coming and going, and I'm not even really sure what's going on anymore. my birthday is August 16th, 72.
Okay, August 16th,
1972.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the location is Daytona
time?
Beach, Florida. Oh, I'm sorry, 12:20 a.m.
And where is it?
In Daytona Beach.
Yes.
Okay.
Daytona Beach, Florida.
In the General Hospital in Volusia County.
Yeah.
It's popping on my solar fire. All right, so what's your question?
It was actually Halifax. I don't know what they called it way back.
Oh, yeah. And what month
I'm
was
sorry?
That again?
August.
Which month?
August.
Okay.
August 16th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have a little feedback on the line sometimes. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, Mark, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm not quite. I don't quite have the chart yet.
And what is your question on? You're a Scorpio moon. For the people who want to know, is Leo moon and Scorpio Taurus rising? You've got a fixed grand square right there. I mean T square right there, and you have Mars at zero Virgo, Venus at 8 Cancer, and Mercury in Leo. So, did you have a question this for us?
I'm not really sure. I have so many things coming and going, and I'm just, everything's kind of up in the air, and I feel like something big is going to happen, but I don't know what, and I just feel like I'm waiting for a lot of things to end and new things to begin, but I just don't And I feel like it's happening, but
it's
very slow.
You're right at a turning point. You know, when I look at your progressions, I see it the strongest. You have your son just this week left 30 years by progression. It's roughly your progression. You had your progressed son was in Leo for the first 7 years and then just spent 30 years in Virgo. Today, or within the last few days, it entered Libra for the first time and will be here for the next 30 years. That's huge.
Oh, good.
In your progression, so it really is a turning point between, you know, working very hard and then learning to try to create more balance and understand other people in a new way and moving into a whole new phase in your life. And much more relationship-oriented and much more creative and less work hard and don't trust people. And you've got a continuing challenge with this as your progressed son conjuncts Pluto over the next 2 years. There's a real revolution in your life, and you don't have to worry about making it happen. You have just about, you know, entering into it. It's not so much playing safe as playing sane and just, you know, just like taking care of yourself and taking the risks, but staying centered in your own self and your own life as you go through these transformations. As it first it conjuncts your sun and your progressed Pluto, then it conjuncts your progressed Mercury. So you're moving into out of a, you know, some really tough stuff that happened a few years ago when your progressed Mercury conjuncts your progressed Pluto, and letting go of loss and beginning to be willing to take more risk and dive into a new phase of your life. And in 3 months, it will feel easier because right now you're still playing safe, and it's important to do so. As your progressed moon is still at 27 degrees Pisces, and it's going to be 3 more months before it enters Aries.
But then, watch out,
yeah.
You're coming through. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take it from here, Anne.
No, Mark. Yeah, Mark, you ready?
Well, there's a lot of Aries and Pluto energy when you think about the progressed moon, progressed sun, and what that progressed sun is doing, because it does conjunct natal Pluto, and then it's going to move into squaring the transiting Pluto. So over this next couple of years, that theme alone will keep you busy in ways that you're meant to change. And you're meant to find really your own sense of power. And that will put you in a lot better shape to handle the kind of, we call the midlife crisis that comes up after that. So a couple of years, you know, a year or a little more than you get your Uranus opposition, because your Uranus is in the middle of Libra. And by the time Uranus gets to middle of Aries, it's like 2 or 3 years off. But if you'll work with the Pluto energy now, it will really help you be really in charge of who you are and how you respond to people around you and how you find your sense of empowerment. And that'll have you less sort of in a reactive mode and just, you know, running off and doing things, and you'll be more focused then. So you'll be in better shape. So use this. Use it really well, and just figure that the next year or two are about you dealing with issues of power, and that you will have some people in your life who bring you the tests you need to grow those muscles. And then they're yours. You know, you grow the muscles, you learn how to use them, and they're yours to you.
Mm-hmm. And you're also starting a new cycle around how you use power and understand power. With the Mars retrograde for the last few months in the house, the fourth house, it's been a lot of cleaning out the house and cleaning out how you undermine yourself. And so you're about to have a Mars return, which starts a new 2-year cycle of acting in the world. And also, if you go back to the cycle that you started in 2000, when you were 28, there was a big cycle then when Jupiter and Saturn met, in Taurus in your first house, so May of 2000, June of 2000, what was happening for you then? And right now you're kind of seeing the full moon of that. You're seeing how that's shown up for you and if you like it. And if you don't like it, this is the time to change it and kind of adjust the direction that you're heading. Because for you, Saturn is a first house planet. You know, he's kind of talkative. And while Jupiter and Saturn are in opposition, this is like one of those moments where they're a little wide in your chart for opposition, but they're going to be, Jupiter and Saturn are going to be dancing with each other for the next few months, saying to you, okay, let's level set your ground and figure out where you're headed. And then Saturn comes to Pluto, starting a new 30-year cycle around how you express yourself with other people and how you express yourself in the workplace. So you're really at this major, major turning point, which is why it feels so unstable. So what do you do when it feels unstable is you got Saturn and Gemini. You do both things, and you recognize that there isn't a right answer, that you have to kind of live in the moment and say, okay, let me try this, and if this doesn't work, then I'll try that, because it's Gemini, and I want to keep, you know, kind of Geminis always have to kind of rock back and forth on their feet and keep themselves, and that Scorpio moon wants a direct right answer. There's one right way. Well, no, really go with, there's multiple ways to do this. Let me try this. If that doesn't work, let me try that, because so much in your life is changing that there isn't a stable answer. And then in the sky, we have five planets changing signs, big guys, you know, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Jupiter, and Aries, actually six. That's a lot of energy shifting above you, and then your chart's got all these shifts. So you're really kind of like in the, like a cosmic washing machine. And your job is to say, I'm in the rinse cycle now. Okay, I got three more minutes in bleach, and then I'm going into, you know, cold water. Oh, good, the cold water's coming. And just kind of know that this is a really profound transformative time for you, that you're not supposed to know the answers. You're just supposed to show up and do the work in front of you and then say, well, if that didn't work out, let me try this. And then it will all calm down once we get to January, February. But basically, you're on a bit of a wild ride till then.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's good. It's fun. It'll be one of the most exciting years of your life. When you're 95 in the rocking chair in the old age home, you'll go back, boy, that was really that 2010, 2011. Major turning point. Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally.
So,
cool.
Most of this basically has to do with my relationships and how I deal with people and creativity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, relationships,
okay.
How
you deal with people affects how you deal with your work, how you deal with everything else.
Yeah.
But you're going to enjoy your life.
It's about knowing,
much more
it's knowing where the center of power is between you and other people.
And that can be a little hard sometimes to discern, because with all your Scorpio stuff, you see the underlying story that they may not see. And then you kind of go to them, well, that was kind of mean, and they're go, why? What was mean about that? I didn't do anything. But you see stuff people don't always see. And that's hard to know whether that's the whole point of, okay, well, maybe I was wrong. Let me try something else. You know, because if you hold on to having to be right about it, not that you're wrong, you probably are right, but they may not see it. And so then give yourself permission to move on rather than getting stuck in, well, who's right and who's wrong.
Let them believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, you can't change their belief. Yeah, go find willing audience. And it goes back to mom, you know, moon and Scorpio. You know, they believe what they believe. You can't really change them. It's fixed earth. It's the swamp, you know. It's the swamp.
Yeah.
So the swamp doesn't change unless there's a hurricane. So, and essentially you're having a hurricane in your life. If you think of it that way,
I've had worse times.
Yeah.
And
in
Florida, I dealt with her.
It's not a bad time. It's a transformative time.
Transformative time.
You just have to be willing to change and to imagine that change could be better.
Okay.
Because your chart tends to kind of not trust change. It's, you know, fixed signs like to stay the same unless they're making the change happen. Like, you're good at changing other people. You're not always good at just kind of your circumstances in change, in flux. So as you're, but, you know, this really is a turning point. It's like you've turned down a different road, and so not far from the intersection yet, and there's some beautiful things coming. You know, there's going to be some interesting transformations as you get used to this new road. So it's important for you to keep imagining where you want it to be instead of pulling back and trying to stay safe. So where do we want this road to go? How do I what changes do I want to make in my life? And yes, it can be for the better. Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't have to change. You don't have to change too fast. Don't worry. You've got 30 years to do this. It's just that there's going to be a lot of the stimulus this first year of this cycle.
Yeah. First years are always trying
like
to find
more challenging, like more challenges to test me out. Is that what you mean, or
some of it could be that, or just some of it is you look at the same old people, and you know, a job that was working for you before now it bores the tears out of you, or relationships where you'd accept people, you look at them and they're just not growing fast enough. And
yeah, I've been going through a lot of that. Just
more
just
and
old
like
friends and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, grown out of things.
Yes. That's
yeah,
amazing.
And you tend to live in a life where you kind of, you like to sort of be in charge of you know, to stay in a fairly safe routine, but that routine won't feel so safe anymore. It just won't feel so interesting. And so it's going to, you know, just feeling your way through to find new possibilities and finding
okay.
that, you know, the old ways that you dealt with people may not be satisfying you anymore, and you need to take some risks to try different ways of doing it that work for you.
All right.
Good.
Awesome.
Keep us posted.
All right. Thank
Lots
you so
of
much.
Changes. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. We got one more caller. 917, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, 917. What's the question or what's the story?
It's been a while since I've been in a relationship, and I was just wondering when one was might be coming my way, or when was a good time to look for one, or any other tactics or
what you could do to get there, because often what we see in astrology is not when actually someone will come, but how do you work with the transits to make it, to
gotcha.
Open up those possibilities. So when were you born?
I was born April 17th, 1971, 12:45 in the afternoon in New York, New York.
Okay, April 17th, 71, 12:45 in the morning, right after midnight.
Oh, no, 12:45 in the afternoon.
Afternoon.
In the afternoon, okay. That's why I always check that, because I'm always like, 12:45, p.m., okay.
You're saying astrological inverse of the first caller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Am I?
You are.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So
the Aries moon and Capricorn, when the other call with the Capricorn moon and Aries.
Aries, right. Yeah. So Capricorn rising.
Leo rising.
Yeah, that kind of gives a, I'm going to redraw it. You've got the one for midnight. I'm looking at you as a midnight. Are you sure you weren't born at midnight? No.
I'm totally sure I wasn't born at midnight.
Totally sure you weren't
rising.
Born at midnight.
You're
Leo rising.
Rising.
I know I'm a Leo rising.
You know, I look at your chart, and you have such mom issues that it's going to take a while to clear them before, you know. That, you know, your moon in Capricorn conjuncts Mars and trines Pluto and trines Saturn. You've got a great grand trine that makes things happen. But you grew up around some pretty strong personalities.
Yeah.
And you're such an Aries. You hate to be told what to do. So there's part of you, you know, you've got your Venus in Pisces opposed Pluto, you know, and there was some emotional issues that look like we're around 5 years old when your Venus directly opposed Pluto that say, oh, to love is to lose or love is a power trip, and I'm not sure I want to go there. And the Aries says, do not tell me what to do to the world. And wants freedom. Now, the Venus in Pisces wants relationship. So does your Mars in Capricorn. He said, well, how about if I just throw everything into my work first? And you really, and when, you know, your work has been your main relationship.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're very good at whatever you do and what you set your mind to. Revealing your vulnerabilities is really not easy for you.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do in a relationship. And you're drawn to very strong women who give you a run for their money. and then don't make it safe for you to be in relationship, and you look at them and go like, see why I'm not in one? You're trying to be controlling, and you're allergic to controlling, but you like them strong. Or the other side is going towards someone who is, and I think you may vacillate between the two, who is kind of weak and friendly and sweet and a little passive, and then just bores the tears out of you after a little while.
Yeah, those would be my two significant relationships, one in 97 to 98 and one in 2006 to 2008.
Mm. Right. Put them in a blender and you'd get an okay relationship.
What was that?
But you said put them in a blender and you'd get an okay relationship.
Okay.
But they were like, this one's too hot, that one's too cold, I'm looking for just right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And the other part...
And what you see is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. I was wondering if you had any timing for him.
Yeah, timing, I think, is... you know, the eclipses are taking place this spring or this summer in June and in July. And they're in your fifth house of love, given and love received. And they're on your moon and your Mars. There's one eclipse on 19, which is on your moon-Mars midpoint. So I often find with charts like yours, it's kind of like, well, it's not that you can't have love because, you know, certainly the chart's got, you know, positioning wants it, can do it. But Pluto and Virgo... you know, Saturn's on that Pluto saying, you know, you're in a different place now and you're starting to say, well, what actually do I want around relationship? This chart can pull relationships in very quickly because the nodal axis is across your ascendant descendant. So it's very easy for you to get into relationships. You probably have more offers than you actually take up on it. And this summer, with the eclipses on that Moon-Mars point, there will be an opportunity. But it also is like, what are you looking for? And a lot of times, this chart would have said back in 2000, I'm just going to work really hard. And now 2010, you know, because your Saturn's on the degree of the Jupiter-Saturn, it says, okay, I'm just going to work really hard and make a lot of money, and then I'll figure out what I want to do. And now Saturn's going through your second house saying, you know, I think, you know, do I want to settle down? Do I want a relationship? So Saturn through the second traditionally brings a relationship. It's the time when people buy a house, get a dog, fall in love, find their career, or their career doesn't really work for them as way it used to. And you're also having Saturn on Pluto ending a 30-year cycle around needing to own your own power that would have happened when you were a little sprite when you were about 10 years old. So now you're like, okay, I think I might be ready to be in a relationship. And then I would say to you, well, what's that vision? What does it look like? And what do you actually want? Because the other thing you can do is fall for women that are a little Aquarian. They're a little weird and quirky and may have commitment issues themselves, which is totally cool.
Very good for you.
Yeah, and actually are good for you because they give you the space. But it also then is going to bring up, you know, they're not going to necessarily be as docile and compliant as some of the other ones. So your job, you know, because the two lights, Venus and the Moon, form what's called the finger of God with your ascendant and your south node. So when you have that, what a finger of God is, it's when the planet's kind of, it's a yod, it's like a little pointing device. So the feminine energy of Pisces is the idealized dream woman, you know, the vision. Mm-hmm. And then the Moon in Capricorn is your mom and that feminine energy that's a little more tough. And the two of them argue with you, the ascendant Leo, and say, you know, how you present yourself and say, well, okay, which one do I want? And actually you need a woman that does both. Because otherwise, you're going to constantly be in a state of unease. The other thing is to remember really to live in the moment in your relationships and say, you know, you're not going to know how it's going to turn out, but if you live in the moment and it feels good, commit to the next step. But you're at a really big turning point, Tom.
Yeah.
It's a really big turning point.
It's important for you to really work on not controlling the women. Because sometimes one of your ways of handling any insecurity on your own part is, you know, you're naturally managerial. You're really good at running the show and telling people what to do. That works in your work.
Mm-hmm.
That does not work in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And to really hear what the other one needs and the self-direction that, you know, you'll find them much more interesting in the long run. And you won't that you won't get bored, because boredom is going to be your worst feature in a relationship. That'll really just kill it.
One way you can look at that is let the relationship be about you. You know,
okay.
Don't have the relationship be about her, but rather, what is it that you learn about you through her that you weren't going to learn otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
Is there,
right.
there are parts of you that will open up and develop?
Uh-huh.
And with that, the grand trine in Earth signs coming off of that moon, it really allows you to set up a very stable sense of self based around your emotional needs. But when you're on your own, there's no one to bounce off of to know what those emotional needs are. When you're in relationship, you find out right away if you're paying attention. But you have to avoid shifting those needs onto her or projecting them, and you know, so that you lose yourself, you know, thinking that her needs are what it's about. So, you know, it's not to pay attention to your partner, but it's to...
listen to them.
Keep,
but do your own work.
You listen to them and realize that you're, you know, a lot of it is about learning what it is you need and how you respond to things. So it becomes a study of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're ready, there's so much... For you, there's so many people that you could meet. One of the best ways for you to meet people is to get involved in projects, because you're not very good at sitting still and being sociable.
Yeah.
But you are quite intuitive. But so if you get involved in projects where people are working on something, whether it's charity or volunteer or building something or a more official work project or a hiking, camping trip with singles, you know, if you're doing something together, it's easier for you to talk, because you know, one of the hardest things for you to do, it looks like, is to start the conversation with a Mercury retrograde in Taurus.
Yeah.
With somebody you're attracted to. You can do it about work, but about, you know, if you think they're cute, you'll tend to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got something that you're doing with them, it's a lot easier for you to break the ice and, you know, not give them advice, but just work with them, and how well that goes. Because you've got a very competent chart.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with you having relations. I think you can definitely do it. It's really a matter of you deciding you want to, because this chart, when it decides it wants to do something, can do it. And I would say to you that the image of feminine that was modeled by your mom, or by, you know, when you're in your home of origin, maybe wasn't what really was what women really are necessarily. So you have to kind of really always pay attention to say, well, you know, that's what I thought they were, but I'm, you know, maybe they're different than that, you know, because it wasn't, you weren't taught it.
Yeah,
so when you aren't
taught
it, you know, you don't know how to do it. That's the part we forget. You know, we learned to walk, but we didn't necessarily know how to do it when we were learning. We just kept trying, and your chart isn't going to like to be vulnerable and try and learn, right? It's just it's not something it appreciates. It doesn't like that level of risk around emotions. It's okay with risk around stuff that it can, and the one thing we have with emotions is we can't guarantee outcome, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah. But I think you've got some really good aspects, and the eclipses could very much bring it. There's a lovely new moon. Or full moon this week, sit down on it. Full moon or new moon, I don't remember. Some kind of moon this
full.
Week. Full, thank you.
Full moon.
Yeah, sit down and say, you know what I'm looking for in my new relationship energy in this next big cycle?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of put out there what it looks like. And
okay.
I think you'd be surprised how fast a relationship can come in. So,
okay.
If you're ready, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I am. I you know. There's been a lot of unavailable women around me lately.
Mm-hmm.
What signs would be good for me? Can you guys tell me that? Or you said Aquarian women? Weird.
Aquarian women, you know,
yeah,
women that you talk to. Yep. Mhm. And also, I'm going to.
But also, you need someone who's got an interesting mix in their chart of either, you know, the Aquarius or Gemini energy. But also something that makes them more deep feeling. It could be their Cancer quality, a little Pisces, something that takes them into their emotions. Taurus, that, so don't give up on them if they're an earth sign, because they may have what it takes to, your Venus and Mars are in water and earth signs.
Mm-hmm.
Your Aries sun loves those Aquarians and those Gemini, but you don't emotionally bond with them unless they also have an interesting mix in their chart the way you do. So they need to be pretty versatile. It's more like, can you talk to them? Do you feel comfortable with them? And can you, are they a balance of strength and willingness to be vulnerable? And do they help you? Are they comfortable with your vulnerability?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I would suggest, and just, you know, I've noticed it myself in the way this works, is that when I'm ambivalent about something, I attract what I'm ambivalent about. So if you're attracting people that are unavailable, there's a part of me that says, yeah, on some level you're still a little unavailable, but you're trying.
Yeah.
So then you have to say, okay, let me come up with what available looks like, you know, and kind of, you know, if I know they're unavailable, why am I spending time on them, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. So I would say to you, maybe that is, you know, when you find one that's available, maybe then you're going to say, oh, okay, you're available, wow, you know, and be a little anxious. So the unavailable actually makes them safe.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to take emotional risks.
You got it, yeah.
You said,
it's a pain in the ass. It's that, I mean, when somebody says it to me, I'm like, oh, shit, I know, you know. I know, I'm ambivalent. That's why I'm attracting ambivalent people to me. Because when you're ready, you attract ready ones. You know, it's kind of the magic of, you know, we magnetize what we're really ready for.
In the weirdest ways.
Huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we magnetize.
I said in the strangest ways. Sometimes.
In the strangest ways, we pull in what we're actually ready for. So we go, okay, I'm not really ready, I guess. Keep pulling in these unavailable women. I guess I'm not real. But I'm trying. I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's good. It's all good. You do have good aspects for it, so no worries. And also recognize that you did not have good relationships modeled. There's a book I love by Dorothy Lunstead, who talks about aspects, and she often writes, she goes, and whatever your parents did, if you find yourself doing it in the relationship, don't do it, you know? And it was like, ooh, okay. I mean, I have a couple of those in my chart. And I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna, I promise, I won't, you know? And it's just that, you know, you weren't shown it. So you have to also kind of learn how to do it. So no picking on yourself. And now you're actually ready, you know? You get to the part where your chart wakes up, the parts that hasn't been allowed to dance in the party wakes up and it says, I'm ready. And that tends to happen when what we call the midlife crisis. So you may turn into a wild, you know, amazingly available kind of person because you're having those planets wake up now as you move into the 40s. So,
gotcha.
No worries.
Cool.
Yeah.
No worries.
No worries. All in its own time.
Awesome.
So, cool. All right, so we'll let you go and have a good one. Keep us posted. We always, and when you meet a cute one, bring your chart. We'll look at it.
I will.
All right.
Awesome.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye. All right, so we've got a couple minutes to wrap up and say where we're going. We just forward. Saturn stationing. This week, the universe is going to want you to do your Saturn. What that means is when you feel like a five-year-old and feel completely overwhelmed by whatever is going on in your world, you have to stand up and say, okay, I'm here. I can handle this. And then you are to step forward and handle it. Neptune stationing, you're going to see your dream in a slightly different dress. That's okay. Look at your dream closely. Uranus changing signs. Watch what happens Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Big changes in the world when a planet goes into
big
a new house.
Changes.
Watch what happens in your chart, because when Uranus enters the Aries house, it's kind of like when Dad comes home and he goes, I'm home, and everybody in the house goes, oh, he's here, whether you're in your bedroom upstairs or you're downstairs cooking in the kitchen. Okay, so Uranus is going into Aries, so all of your Aries planets in your Aries houses are going to get all excited on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
We'll talk a lot more about that next week.
And we'll talk a lot more about that next week, right. That's what I have to say. And Heather, the Mars-Neptune.
And yes, this weekend, expect some of your motivation to dissolve, and you don't know quite where you're going, which way, which is going to be interesting because it's a very ambitious Capricorn weekend. It's a good time to work at projects that you do know where you're going. If you've got household stuff, especially structural or rebuilding something at home. It's not really a kickback Memorial Day weekend. It's more project-oriented time. Enjoy that, but don't tell other people what to do. Do it yourself.
And Mark, you want to take us home?
Heather?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for tuning in. This is Access Astrology. You can find us at astronyc.com, astronyc.com, and catch us on Blog Talk Radio, Monday nights, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And this is Mark Wolf, along with
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk,
and Heather Rowan Robbins in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And we wish you a good week and a happy Memorial Day. Yay!
That's right.
Yeah. Forward, forward. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.